The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 14 after 8, I appreciate you being here. We'll have Pebble in your shoe Tuesday call time. We're going to talk with No Wires a little bit later on, too. Just a quick money-saving talk. And then we'll have a Diner 62 quiz a little later this hour and some time on Pebble in your shoe. Okay, we'll make that happen. Joining me in studio is Diana Anderson. Diana Anderson is a co-author of Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers. I've talked with her off and on, and also talked with Gary. Gary, by the way, was at the Lincoln Day dinner.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and he sang a song, which I'm going to have to get off of YouTube because it was so wonderful.
Yeah, it's called She's Red, White, and Blue. In fact, we're putting that link on our website,
too. Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a website.
Oh, okay. What's the website?
Karl Marx, www.karlmarxintheclassroom.com.
Karl Marx in the Classroom. That's a mouthful, but I like it. karlmarxintheclassroom.com.
Yeah.
Hey, Diana, you have been putting on seminars around here in Southern Oregon for
a number of years
now, in which you've been exposing the sustainable development push, the push and how much of this has been baked in the cake. And every time you see, well, I'm paid like you are and other people to notice things, all right?
Right.
And I couldn't help but notice when I was reading this article on Ashland.news and the Rogue Valley Times ended up picking up the story in which, oh, they, as in the system, is proposing and is looking to do an affordable housing development on school property.
Right.
And I think it was Ashland High School property
that
they were hoping to do this in. And it's not a sure thing at this point, but it is ringing alarm bells in my head. I'm going, wait a minute. This is exactly the kind of Marxist centralized planning garbage that Diana has been talking about, has been in the works for a long, long time.
Right.
And if you want to call it a combination of technocracy with a form of Marxism, with a form of, but still it's centralized command and control. And what better way to usher more of that into Southern Oregon than, oh, we're going to have an affordable housing units in the schools.
And it'll
help the schools have higher enrollment. Like, why does that matter? But especially when, like, 42% of the kids can read and the other 58 can't. I digress. Could you explore some of what you have done in your presentations detailing on why there's been such this focus on the schools as community learning centers rather than being schools?
The American Planning Association has for a couple decades now educated our legislators and other people about we need to include schooling and education into the comprehensive plan development for land use. And especially the American Planning Association has been the lead in this agenda to do that. But people are going to find that the agenda will be implemented a lot by the school district itself, and the school board are set up to do that. A lot of people on those boards, as parents have learned across the nation, school boards tend to be really hard-hearted. It's like no matter what kind of input they get on any issue, they've got an agenda that they're going to meet.
Whether it's now, I know I'm talking with Mariah last hour, who is kind of wanting to run because she wants to take care of the smutty books, in the system.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine that the agenda in play is we have to break down standards, so we have to have smutty books in the
correct
in the classroom.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway, Portland. If we take a look at what schools the new role schools are going to take today, is the fact that they are going to be the community learning centers, heart of every neighborhood that's set up to be a climate-friendly area.
So when you hear about Ashland proposing affordable housing, Ashland High School property, climate-friendly, equitable community executive order in here, sustainable development, you combine it, you connect all these dots, and what do you think we get, Diana?
Well, we get the idea that that area around the Ashland High School is going to be their next climate-friendly area, proposed area. They have five now in Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
they have been submitted to Salem as their plan for Ashland, the initial climate-friendly areas. There was the North Mountain neighborhood, which is right near where North Medford High School is at. And we have the Railroad Property Master Plan, the Transit Triangle site, downtown, and then the Croman Mill site, which they would have to do a lot of development to get a neighborhood plan there. So, but the idea is that they need to have a community learning center by Oregon law in every one of those neighborhoods.
By Oregon law?
Oregon law. House Bill 2082 of 2001 stipulated that community learning centers were to be located in or near a school or a cluster of schools. And they said that in partnership with the school district board, create or designate advisory committees, and they were to offer guidance on program development and have the support and membership that was representative of businesses, schools, faith-based organizations, social service and healthcare agencies, cultural groups, recreation groups, municipal governments, community colleges, libraries, child care providers. So all these public services and public organizations will be your service provider, because in a community, in a climate-friendly area or a 20-minute neighborhood, if you want to call it that.
Or the 20-minute prison city that I prefer to call it.
Right. They, by definition, they are described as neighborhoods that offer accessibility to the spectrum of day-to-day needs, your services and your goods that you need on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And they were defined in terms of a one-quarter mile walk. And Portland was the first city in the world to create a 20-minute neighborhood. They did that back in 2008. So the city of Portland's Bureau of Sustainability, Planning and Sustainability, attested to the fact that they were using Clarence Perry's 1929 image of a neighborhood unit in order to create a 20-minute neighborhood.
In other words, what is being brought forward is very old.
Oh, yeah. It's almost 100 years old.
These are not new ideas. Is it connected with the technocracy also?
Yes, yes. Technocracy is defining the structure of your society, the structure, what's on the ground, how the land is going to be used, land use, planning. That's what technocracy is. And it's also how each neighborhood, once they get those in place, is to function, how it will be part of a new governance system. So, for instance, right now, whenever I read or people hear about the plans, they're always coming from regional government, and they'll say regional or local government.
Yeah, RVCOG, places like that.
RVCOG, yes, is the one that signed an agreement with every community in Southern Oregon in order to bring about climate-friendly area studies. That's from Grants Pass to Ashland. RVCOG then is a metro planning organization. So they have divided the new government into two different metro areas, because people will be ruled by city government, not by county or even hardly state government.
Almost like a city-state? Of sorts?
City-state, almost like out of the Greek.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they divided Southern Oregon into two metro areas. One is the Middle Rogue, which includes Grants Pass, Gold Hill, and Rogue River. And Gold Hill and Rogue River aren't even in Josephine County. So they ignore the county borders, like between, mm-hmm. Here. And then the other one's Bear Creek Metro, which includes any community from Central Point to Ashland. But I find that they're developing a climate-friendly area in Eagle Point also. So they have one on the board. But Oregon House Bill then lays it all out. They talk about how each one of these communities, or each one of these community learning centers, will then have an advisory committee, an association, whatever they might call it. They'll either be appointed or elected members in Los Angeles. The city charter has stipulated that members of these empowerment communities and their associations need not even be U.S. citizens. So they can...
Boy, you know, these are much bigger agendas than we think of.
Oh, yeah. Los Angeles has 99 of them, and Portland has 95 community learning center neighborhoods.
Huh.
They all have nice little neat little names, and they all have what they call neighborhood associations. And currently, our Vision 2040 task force that has 85 action steps and strategies on their document, they talk about having everything that we've been talking about, all those organizations and institutions in our that make up a community will be part of it. They have 22, I believe, supporting organizations from Head Start to the Rogue Workforce.
So, is this is it too strong of a term to say that this is the Sovietization of the West Coast?
No, it's not, because if you take the definition of a climate-friendly area or a 20-minute neighborhood and you compare it to Alexei Gutanov's description of a unit of settlement from Moscow University in the 50s, it's the same thing. It's a walkable environment that traffic would only occur in the arterial streets around the factory. Their community learning center wasn't a school, however. It was a factory.
Hmm. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with a walkable neighborhood. I don't think there's anything wrong with a walkable.
No.
But I can't help but notice that there is just a real push on multiple cities here. I'm looking at, the affordable housing on local schools. City of Jacksonville wanting to do a new pedestrian plaza in a, you know, that we won't have any traffic on it.
Right.
And there's only two options being offered. It's either we shut it down completely to traffic, or we shut it down only for special events, but there's never a option to do nothing. See what I'm getting at here?
Right, right.
Yeah. And I can't help but this, whether or not people realize that this seems to be part of the plan, even in little Jacksonville, for crying
even,
out loud.
Even if you're talking about parking codes, it's part of the plan. American Planning Association put out a 1,400-page document called Smart Growth Legislative Guide. They did that in 2002.
And this is 23 years later, folks. Okay.
Yes. And what they needed to do was, most of the people, our electors at that time, a lot of them didn't know anything about smart growth. And so APA was going to make sure that they schooled them. And this was a guide for them. So
Well, I think the American Planning Association is one of the most anti-American groups that exists.
They belong
here
to the Planners Network, which has a definition of their progressive principles. And it's the best definition of socialism I've ever heard or read, you know.
And this is getting baked into our cake right now.
Right.
All right. Now, are all cities in Oregon on this right now? Is it only our state in California and Washington, or is it mostly the West, or is this every place in our country right now?
It's every place in the world. If you go to Bristol, bristolnews.com in England, in Bristol, there was hundreds of residents blocking the pathway for these big construction companies to come in and put great big cement blocks and big planters at the end of the streets to block off any traffic going into their neighborhoods.
So the residents actually want traffic.
Well,
they want the ability to be able to travel.
Yeah, don't want closed streets.
And it's almost like everybody wants. They want every city to be its own little Gaza. Maybe that's too strong of a term, but you start to wonder, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, they have right now, most American cities, especially the ones that started this whole program, they're at a point where they're just putting slow streets. That's what they call them in Portland. Yeah.
And that's kind of Medford right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to witness now, we're witnessing bicycle paths on the streets. We're going to be witnessing closed streets, affordable housing. All this is the same plan.
Yeah, affordable housing that you don't own, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to see now that how the schools are going to be in the picture in the news in regard to all this, because they will be the heart of the, they are the heart of a community
learning center. This is an insidious one. Like I said, I don't mind walkable cities and walkable streets and things, but I recognized the alarm bells clanging of what you had talked about, that this is all part of the plan. I mean, trust the plan.
Well, they said in the news article that their aim was to directly impact the district's declining enrollment. So if you can get more people to live closer and more affordably near a school, maybe we can get more people, students enrolled into our school. Plus, then you get more money, too, into the school at the same time.
Sure.
Okay. Because they said, you know, the medium housing price is four times the medium anyplace else. It's always been kind of a...
Yeah, but you see, that's not considered sustainable, right?
No.
But what, I have a feeling that I was reading an article this morning from the Center for Western Priorities, in other words, a leftist front group like everything else, and they were upset because President Trump was planning on creating miles of sprawl across the West, because what they consider sprawl across the West was that they wanted to identify public land that could be available.
Public federal land,
Land, that could be available for affordable housing, which I'm sure many people would like. But what they hate about it is that it's not near the stack and pack cities. It's about creating small rural towns and places
and
that could
kind
be.
Of thing.
Yeah, and that seems to cut against that entire agenda. I think that's why they're having such a hissy fit about this, because they want it rewilded. They don't want us living in the rural lands. And it's more than just the state of Oregon's wildfire mapping program.
It's a wait and see kind of thing with this administration.
Yeah,
we have the idea too. Whether Trump used the word sprawl or not,
no, Trump
I
didn't
don't
use
know.
It. No, he didn't. This was the Center for Western Priorities.
They said the word sprawl, and that's one word that they always give an excuse. Why we need to get away from that.
Yeah, well, one person's sprawl is another person's affordable home and nice neighborhood.
Right. So, you know, words can be taken different ways. And then we have this, you know, the news that the Department of Education is going to be completely shut down. I think they should have gone to the Office of Educational Research and Improvement in that department, because that's where most of the radical stuff came out of. But even if you did that, even if you take apart a lot of this agenda, it comes from underneath the Department of Education, the Department of Interior. Health and Human Services organizations?
Yes.
All those, because this is an integrated ecosystem, multidisciplinary agenda. They needed people. They needed a lot of agencies in the government, whether federal or state, in order to get on board with this. So let's say that an executive order is given in Salem. Well, the next step they have to do is go to their 200 agencies and make sure that they understand where this order is headed, where it's going. And so they use alternative dispute resolution techniques. If they find that there's people within the agency, they're questioning all this too much. You know, they want to make sure that they're on board with it.
And see, I would dare say that almost none of this complies with constitutional protections.
Oh, nothing, none of it. In fact, there was a large...
It should be offending everybody, what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a dictatorship.
And there's nothing worse than the dictatorship imposed for your own good, so-called sustainability.
Those valuable testimonies that the Alsham residents gave to that school board there, they should be publicized. In fact, as part of, I don't know if Alsham School District requires this, but I know if I give testimony to the Vision 2040 Task Force, in their next publication of the minutes of the last meeting, they have to give word by word, quote you directly what the testimonies were. So hopefully Ashland School Board will do this same when they publish their minutes to the last meeting, is publicize or give access to all that testimony people gave. Those two of the board members were founders of Sunstone, which is the nonprofit organization that assisted the school in order to bring this partnership about, what they call, I forgot the name of it, but the news reporter did say that they were part of it. So my question is, well, is there a conflict of interest here? I mean, is Mr. Ruby or Ms. Frankel's personal or family interest benefit as a result of any official decision that they make on this? I mean, I don't want to accuse anybody, but with all the evidence, you can't fight the schools any more than you can fight City Hall, in my book. Lois Maxwell, who was my mentor years ago, we fought the schools. We went out and tried to get enough people to get rid of Goals 2000, the federal bill. We did everything we could for 10 years trying to fight the system, so to speak. And they're part of this system. So we got to the point where we thought, well, the only way to hurt the schools is to pull your kids out of school, because then they don't get that money for that child. That was the only way to do it. And their idea is to wake the school, you know, to put more, a
is
greater
to put
population.
More emphasis, greater population into it, yeah. So Ashland is taking it right down the Mary Sovietization plan.
I want to quote the plan from the American Planning Association, just one small
sentences. And then we'll have to go and have you back another time, okay?
The plan may propose programs to ensure that middle and moderate income workers, such as police officers, firefighters, teachers, and other vital workers are able to find housing near where they work. The plan may also serve as a vehicle to distribute federal funds, such as community development block grant monies or state funds dedicated to affordable housing purposes. Hmm. That's those two sentences right there define what the school board is putting forth.
I appreciate your acumen on this, and like I said, it was rhyming really loudly to me when I was reading this news story from Ashland.news and Rogue Valley Times. We'll have you back, and if you're doing any more presentations, just let me know about that, too.
I will. Okay.
And once again, Diana Anderson, Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers, is her book. That's available. I think you can get it printed on Amazon, right?
Yes, it's a harbinger of the Great Reset.
Yeah.
Because everything that the Great Reset needed to change society is discussed there.
Is it just me, or do we have like a battle of the Great Reset models? You know, there's like a Klaus Schwab model, which is eat the bugs, right? And then and maybe there's another Great Reset model, which is maybe the Trumpian, okay, it's going to be a reset financially or something.
I'm looking at the Trump administration, and I'm looking at him his first day in office, and he's got three people that are very, very close to the new digital fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, I had my suspicions, too.
Yeah. So he's working with Silicon Valley. He didn't in the first administration, but I'm reading that.
They donated a lot of money.
Yeah. That too. There was a lot of investors in that kind of a city, you know, a digital city. One person that came from Ashland, a gal from Ashland, said, it's a digital dictatorship is what it's going to be. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Don't
you love all these plans that the higher ups have?
Oh, yeah.
For us, yeah. And I guess my point is the resistance to this, part of it is getting your kids out of the school.
That's about the only thing I can think of to really fight it, because you can't go up against the school boards or City Hall anymore. If I go to City Hall, there's three stories there in Medford, and at the top story, there's one great big window where you can look through this window and see lots of desks there with hardly anybody there. There's not a place to share a document, underneath the window. Mm-hmm. There's no place to speak, like to the person behind the window. It's the only access point or visual point that you have to see inside, to talk to somebody. Now, Vision 2040 Task Force is supposed to have their meeting, their next meeting on April 3rd. And this was told to me by a person at City Hall that is intending to put these meetings on the City of Medford website, where they have a calendar for all the meetings. I checked it this morning. I check it every day, and I haven't seen that happen yet.
They really don't want us knowing, do they?
Well, I've been there three times giving testimony, and the last two times they changed the venue at the last minute. Another gal that came with me from JCRP, we were told that it was moved to the Rogue Valley Transportation District office. You go there on 8th Street, and there's maybe not even 10 chairs for the public to sit on, even if they wanted to comfortably, you know, listen to their next presenter, whoever it might be. But when you walk in, even if you walk in late and you indicate that to the chair that you would like to give testimony, they will allow you time for it, so you don't have to be there ASAP. But I've given testimony, and I'll give handouts with hyperlinks to the sources that I'm quoting, comparing Soviet urban planning to the plan that we have right here. They don't want to make it public any more than Dennis Richardson, who was Secretary of State, very, very, very knowledgeable person. He was Republican. He and Sal Esquivel both were worried that I would get up and make too many things public, because Dennis asked me for all my research back in 2000, but he didn't want me to make it public. So because the plan doesn't, at certain points, doesn't want to be very open. Well, now we got, it's like a school now. It's going to have to open their doors completely to public scrutiny in order to reveal the truth about what their ultimate aims are. And their aims are is to transform themselves into a community learning center where everybody will have all their goods and services provided for them.
Sounds like a lovely lifestyle plan for us.
Right. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you bringing this up. And could you let us know? So the next meeting is on April 3rd.
April 3rd for the Vision Task Force. And they usually meet at 3 in the afternoon at Rogue X.
What could you even comment on to try to fight this?
If you go to the Medford's Vision 2040 Action Plan and scroll down to their charts, they have listed 85 different actions they want to take. And they list all their supporting institutions and businesses in order to bring this about. And it includes actions that will affect preschoolers to the elderly, for everybody.
All right. Well, I'm way late here. Got to roll.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Thank you.
I think next time you've got to come on at 7:30.
I will.
Not 8:10.
Okay.
All right. This is the challenge of a 3-hour show. Okay. And you're in the final hour of a 3-hour show. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
The reports keep coming about Sky Park Insurance saving...
...with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
Hey, quick open for business here. Charisse is here to help you save money over at No Wires Now. NoWiresNow.com, of course, is the website, and you'll find it right over there by the Cigar Cave off Biddle Road. Right there, Charisse? How you doing?
That's right. I'm here today until 4 all week. You don't have to print bills anymore. I can print your bills for you. And, you know, if you have Spectrum, Dish, DirecTV, CenturyLink, Hunter, whatever you have, you want to save some money, come and talk to me.
Yeah. What is your cell phone number, once again, for a text message, please?
541 680-5875. And if you're calling from a landline, you got to dial a 1.
Okay. Very much appreciated there. Now, I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying my new cell service that I ended up getting through you. So this is my dog in the fight. Okay. It's worked out really well. Both Linda and I, it's one line free for an entire year. I'm paying $30 a month. Got to love that. It's working great.
And it's Verizon, so it has really good coverage, the best in the valley. It really is.
Yeah. And also, the thing is, to get this deal, you must have Spectrum Internet. So that is part of that restriction, right? That's all.
Right. So if you had Spectrum and you went to Hunter, I can get your internet to $30 and your cell phone service for free. So you're paying $30 for internet and cell phone service.
And what I really like about it, though, is that there's no contract on it. I'm not seeing any taxes on the bill either, or the hidden fees. So,
right, yeah, and if you're not happy, you can always go back to your expensive bill if you're not happy.
I don't think I'm going to be going back to that anywhere else. Okay, now, how much can you save? How much can you save, people? Now, I know everyone's mileage varies, but give me an idea of what people can save when they become your client. It's really amazing, the amount of money.
So when you have, let's say, Spectrum bundle, let's say you have TV, internet, home phone, you're probably paying anywhere from $2 to $275 a month. Mm-hmm. I switch your TV to Dish. I help you cancel the TV. I take your equipment back. My husband comes out and does the install for free, teaches you how to use your equipment. And then I lower your internet for you and then get you the free cell phone service. I'm going to save you probably $200 a month.
All right. But of course, your mileage may vary. Talk to Charisse over at No Wires now and see what could be done for you. Because like I said, there are certain geographical areas, certain services aren't available everywhere, right? That's just the way that goes. Now, but I was just going to say, the beauty of it being family-owned and operated business is that you take care of the return of the equipment and all that stuff, and your hubby takes care of the installs, which works out really well.
I do a lot more than just switch your TV. I do all the other stuff, so you don't have to. Now, Spectrum has really grown. They have been laying lines out Shady Cove. Mm-hmm. If you don't have Spectrum, but you know they're running lines, please call me. Don't call the 1-800 number or sign up with the goofball that comes to your door, because they're not going to lower your bill when it goes up. They're not going to help you with your bill. I will. So it's really important that you call me and not the 1-800 number.
All right. You're still taking any of those Dish cards that are out there?
Yes.
You know, the big Visa?
Yes. If you ever have gotten a $500 gift card, if you switch to Dish, and you haven't gotten one lately, I can look it up for you and make sure you get your $500 gift card. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's 5 months of TV service, you know, paid for right there. And you can use the money on anything. You don't have to spend it on just Dish.
But there's nothing wrong if you did that, all right?
Yeah.
But the point is, don't call the 800 line on these. Get in touch with No Wires now. 541-680-5875. 541-680-5875. Because if you call the 800 numbers that are on the cards and all the other offers that may get out there, you end up getting put into a boiler room. It's not you, and they're not going to get the same kind of service that you get from your shop. That's just the bottom line. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah, come and talk to me. I'll help you lower your internet bills, whatever I can, get you free phone service.
All right, 541-680-5875, call or text. And how did it work out at the home show? You meet any listeners out there?
It was awesome. It was great. It was probably one of my favorite home shows ever.
Good. So, glad to hear it.
It was good.
Glad to hear it. All right. No Wires now. 1560 Biddle Road, Suite B, Medford. And 680-5875 for the text message. Thanks for being on Open for Business, Charisse. Be well, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Call her up. Get signed up, okay? Now, you want to call me at 770-5633 because what we're going to do is the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And we're going to take care of that next. If you haven't won this in the last 60 days, you can win it now. 770-5633. Get yourself that half ham special or the clam chowder or the Diner 62 burger or that amazing Denver omelet that was delivered to me on Friday. They've got it all there.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the...
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
It's 8:55, the Real American Quiz from Diner 62. By the way, your lunch destination. And you can also upgrade to onion rings or sweet potato fries, which I highly recommend with the burgers. But they're all good as far as I'm concerned. Let me go to Tom first. Hello, Tom. How you doing?
Just fine. And you?
I'm well. Tom, it was today in history, back in 1634, Maryland
was settled. The first colonists to Maryland arrived at St. Clement's Island on Maryland's western shore, and they found the first European settlement. Back in 1632, King Charles I grants a charter to George Calvert, the first Lord Baltimore. I didn't realize that's where the term came from, Baltimore, right? Yielding him proprietary rights to the region east of the Potomac in exchange for a share of the income derived from the land. In other words, give me the booty here, okay? That's what the king was saying. But anyway, what was the name of Maryland's first settlement, Tom? Was it A, King George, B, Charlestown, C, Fredericksburg, D, St. Mary's, or was it E, Baltimore, which I was just mentioning? What do you think?
I'll just guess Baltimore.
You're going to guess Baltimore? It sounded good. It's the one. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Let me go to Dave here next. Dave's on the phone here. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, it's not Baltimore. First name of Maryland settlement, was it King George, Charleston, Fredericksburg, or St. Mary's? What do you say?
Well, I'm going to go with St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. Good day for you.
You're a winner!
Indeed. St. Mary's City is still in existence, was named for the Virgin Mary, while the colony of Maryland was named for Queen Henrietta Maria. It's now a state-run historic area, which includes a reconstruction of the original settlement and also has a designated living history venue and museum. Has 1,000 permanent residents and 1,400 students attending the St. Mary's College, okay? So congrats are in order. You're going to Diner 62. And hang on, Dave, and we'll make sure that you are there. I just need your address, okay? We'll do that.
The popularity of Fontana Roofing's metal division cannot be overstated. Well, at least it's exciting for those who get geeked by seeing metal being bent.
Okay, we'll see you soon. We've got another contractor who wants a tour of the metal shop.
How can you blame them? We're cranking out so much magical stuff, they want to peek behind the curtain.
The trick is to take it slow. There's a lot to take in, and you don't want to overwhelm them.
Yeah, they're like kids at the carnival. Ooh, check out the gutter machine.
Wow, look at all the colors and gauges they have in inventory.
There's so many profiles for roofing and siding.
Holy cow, look at that order of foundational flashing loaded on the trailer.
Whew. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the grand finale. Fontana's Mobile Metal Fabricator.
Ta-da!
Fontana Roofing is now providing guided tours of their metal shop. Please make reservations early. Bringing a sack lunch is recommended. For more information, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit WashBuggyAutoSpa.com.
It's 8:59 and change. I really appreciate your listenership this morning. I wanted to bring your attention before we wrap up for the day, and we'll talk more tomorrow, is that on KMED.com, I have a link for the Transportation Safety Action Plan, City of Medford. We've been talking a lot about the various insidious, in my opinion, agendas, which are going on. But the Transportation Safety Action Plan, I have an article up on the Bill Myers Show blog. Just look for it. I even, you know, put it on most of the past, from the last, the past ones. We're in the final few days of being able to pull up the traffic map and being able to zoom in and click on certain portions of that and make a comment involving something you think the city should be doing to improve safety or accessibility of what's going on. Something besides the bicycle bum ways, all right? So do that. Go to KMED.com. It's up there. And we'll talk more about that. Get your comments in. We'll discuss more tomorrow, okay?
Southern Oregon's place to talk. KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford.